run down. Oh. And it was a struggle.
Riding the struggle bus?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Because I didn't eat this morning.
I understand that.
Well, what?
Because I, yeah.
Because normally I wake up and I have a smoothie.
Mm.
And then I have like some, like boiled egg.
Yeah.
Well, I.
That's fucking healthy.
Yeah.
Wow. You've never really eaten horrible though. that I notice.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I normally eat. But then this morning, because normally I go to work at 11, but this morning I helped at the Nickel and I just cleaned the bathrooms in there. So like I went in there at like 9:30.
Yeah.
So I didn't eat anything before I left. I just figured, well, I won't be there that long. But then I ended up hanging out there until like 2 because I liked the bartender that was working.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like chatting. And then I went running. And then I went to Walmart. So by the time I got home, I was starving, hungry, and crabby.
Yeah.
Oh, and I stopped at Dunkin' for a coffee this morning.
Mm-hmm. They do an avocado toast there that you can get with bacon.
I didn't see it on the menu.
Oh, it's there.
Like, they had avocado spread for, like, an extra, but I didn't see toast. But I also was really tired.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got my coffee, and then I said, and I'd like a donut. And she's like, What kind?
Okay, but what kind?
But what kind? And I'm like, I don't know, like a filled donut. What do you want it filled with? Like, I'm tired.
Bavarian cream, jelly, jam.
Bavarian cream is the only appropriate filling for a donut.
You don't like jelly donuts?
No.
I don't mind them.
I get mad when I get a jelly donut.
I'm a big Long John fan.
With Bavarian cream or with the cool whip, or with frosting or whatever?
I like both.
Okay.
I'm not going to be disappointed.
I don't like the frosting on top. Like, if you get a Long John and there's, like, an inch of chocolate frosting on the top of it, I peel it off.
I don't like an inch, but I do like a spread of chocolate frosting. I've never seen one where it's just, like, not an fucking inch, layered.
But sometimes it's too – that makes it too sweet. I just want the donut dough.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bavarian cream.
Do they make them that way?
No. Sometimes they're just glazed, but usually they have frosting and I scrape the frosting off.
Yeah.
What?
Now I want a donut really bad.
I brought one to AJ because I was working, you know, and I didn't want to just show up with like shit for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I got their bacon bites or whatever, where it's just like a bag of bacon, but it wasn't very crispy, so...
I like a good crisp on bacon.
Bacon has to be like crunchy.
Yeah.
It almost has to crumble when I touch it.
I don't like it that much.
Yeah. Crumbly, like crispy bacon.
So this is... Wait, I'm pulling a mom.
Okay. This is something way off topic. Totally different.
Have you heard of the movie Fall?
No.
Okay. So there's this movie and it's essentially like 47 meters down or like Frozen, but it takes place in an old like radio tower.
Oh, in the horror movie group, people are talking about that like crazy.
Yeah. So Mike and I watch a UK television show.
Okay.
And it's called Gogglebox.
Okay.
It's one of our favorite just like bullshit shows to watch. So they have like five groups of people, like two best friends, two sisters, mm-hmm. whatever, blah, 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 partners, however. And they're recorded while they watch just like clips of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one on Fall.
So you didn't actually watch Fall.
I watched other people watching Fall. I watched other people watching Fall. Just watching the clips that they showed, I could have had a massive panic attack just laying in bed.
Yeah, I don't want to ever watch it.
No.
Based on like what, well, for one, based on what other people have said about it.
Yeah.
Not interested. I think my anxiety would be through the roof watching something like that.
I would have to be high as fuck watching that. And even that, I don't think would calm my nerves.
No, I'm not interested in
it. It would make it worse.
It would.
Am I up there right now?
That would make it way worse. I'm not particularly afraid of heights.
I'm not either.
But I am afraid of being trapped somewhere.
Call of the Void. I'm afraid of something like that. that I'll just like leap off.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing. The Call of the Void.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it, and I don't care to ever.
I was just asking.
You know what that reminds me of, though? You know what movie I would like to do
what?
At some point? Fallen.
Ooh, with Denzel Washington.
Yes, and John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that one on DVD, so you can borrow it if you want.
I do really like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're not talking about either of those movies.
No, it seems like there's something else I had to tell you before. See, now that I see your hair just lighter, it makes me wish I wouldn't have done my hair, but all I really have to do is shampoo this for like a week and it'll be that color.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I might go a little lighter.
Yeah?
But I don't know yet.
You probably have to have someone professional
do that.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Never mind. I like my hair this color.
I like it that color.
It's wet right now, too.
But I don't wash my hair all the time because I hate spending a ton of money on box hair dye. And I use 2 boxes, so it's $20 every time I have to do my hair.
Once every month and a half?
That's true, because I don't wash my hair.
That's like, ever. And $20, like, what is $20?
I know.
That's like lunch somewhere.
I know.
So you'll get your hair professionally done.
For $120 plus tip.
And then every 6 weeks, you'll be spending $150. But damn that box dye.
Damn the box dye.
I used one box and it worked. My hair was a little damp when I did it, so it kind of spread out better. But
yeah, I like that color a lot, but I don't know.
I just had to get rid of the brown red.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like that at all.
I get that.
I just wasn't feeling it. I tried. I tried really hard. It didn't work. Okay. Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, everybody seems to like my hair this color, so.
I think it complements your eye color and skin tone to have that color.
Thank you.
It's like, because when mine was that color, it just didn't.
Didn't fit you.
Didn't fit. Mm-hmm. It was fine, but like I said, it was like this, but just really faded out. So it was like this, like that's this after however many washes.
Okay.
And usually my roots are like an inch long, and then it's time to just do the whole thing over again.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Let me crack this open.
Yeah.
Crack. Whoosh.
Cracking cold ones.
La Croix.
Don't get cherry bubbly.
Ever. Is it the worst?
It's not the worst, but here, try it.
Oh,
it
God.
Tastes a little bit like cough medicine or something.
Ew.
And what sucks is
I don't like any of that.
I like lime bubbly better than lime LaCroix.
Mm-hmm.
I think bubbly in general has like a stronger flavor to it.
People listening right now are probably like, why do you guys drink that garbage? Carbonated water.
Because I love it.
I get so much shit for drinking LaCroix.
I like it. But
mm-hmm.
now that I've been drinking this for a while, if I get... Like, sometimes if I go to Taco Bell, I still get, like, a regular fountain Mountain Dew.
Oh, fuck.
And I get, like, blasted with sugar.
Yeah.
It, like, makes my eyes water. I'm getting so much sugar. So this is fine. But I also drink just plain, like... club soda.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
So like, whoa, hey.
Come here.
This is like fancy club soda.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to the bar, they'll muddle my lemon and lime and then put the ice in and then put the club soda. And it's like delicious and refreshing.
When somebody else makes you shit, though, it's always so much better.
It is, because when I make them at home, it's not as good.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, kitty cat.
Let's do this.
All right, I'm going to sneeze.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Oh, I held that one in. Okay, sorry.
My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to the newly built town of Cuesta Verde in Poltergeist. Came out in 1982. It's 1 hour and 49 minutes. You can find this bad boy on Apple TV or Amazon Prime for $3.99. Or you could just own it on DVD.
Like I do.
To live through childhood nostalgia.
I found out, well, Greg found out that we have the remake on DVD too, and it's still in the plastic on the shelf. Like,
you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll watch it. Have you seen the remake?
No. Is it scary?
I don't know, but I have a feeling that they probably upped the ante with the clown scene, and I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, well, the clown looks way scarier, because I just saw, like, I didn't play the trailer, but that was, like, the picture for the trailer. Yeah, because this is PG.
This is PG.
Mm-hmm. So it was supposed to be scarier, and they, like, bumped it back.
Oh, okay.
To get it to be PG, so it could be a double feature with E.T.
Ooh.
Which came out the same summer. Anyway.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's directed by Tobe Hooper, who did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. The screenplay is done by Steven Spielberg. All of the things. Michael Grais, he did Sleepwalkers. And then Mark Victor did Cool World. Do you remember Cool World?
It was like a cartoon.
It was like a Roger Rabbit type movie. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to dive right into the cast here. The Freeling family, Craig T. Nelson plays Steve, or the dad. He was in Coach, like, forever. He was Coach.
Yeah.
Devil's Advocate and The Incredibles. He voices the dad in Incredibles.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Jo Beth Williams is Diane, or the mom. She was in a lot of CSI-type crime shows and Dexter, like one or two episodes of each.
Here and there. Yeah. Okay.
Heather O'Rourke played Carol Ann. Sadly, she passed away in 1988
complications from a bowel obstruction.
Yeah, from well water from her family's farm. From what I read online, do not quote me on that. That's just rumor mill stuff.
I read that she got misdiagnosed with Crohn's. It turned out that it was a bowel obstruction, and then she ended up getting
septic. Sepsis.
Yeah. And then that led to heart complications that she died from.
Yeah, she was 12 years old.
That's super sad.
It's so sad. Oliver Robbins plays Robbie. He's a director, or directs like minor films and stuff. And he's the only one of the three kids that's still alive.
Which is crazy.
Dunn plays Dana. She passed away in 1982. It was a domestic violence situation.
Yes. Shortly after.
Very shortly after. This came
out in the summer, and then it was that October.
She was in a show in 1982 before she passed away, and it was called V, and they dedicated, like, the entire series to her.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The paranormal team, Beatrice Strait plays Dr. Leish or Leish. She passed away in 2001, major Broadway star, and she was in the 1977 Wonder Woman film, and she played Hippolyta. She played, like, the main, like, Wonder Woman's, like, mom or whoever.
Okay.
Hippolyta. And the thing is, I just watched the new Wonder Woman, and they went through the entire, like, was not paying attention. Zelda Rubinstein plays Tangina, and she passed away in 2010. Lots of just, like, odd roles. If you know what she looks like and know what she sounds like, you recognize her immediately.
She actually won a Saturn Award for Best Supporting Actress in this.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan is played by Richard Lawson. He was Officer Ed in Streets of Fire. Like the main police officer in it. And Martin Casella as Marty. Minor roles in the 70s and
80s. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I just put it together. Yep. I can picture his face now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Weird. Mm-hmm. That's a weird connection.
Yes.
Yeah, so this was originally supposed to be a sequel to Close Encounters.
I could see that.
So what happened was, it was Steven Spielberg's idea to make a sequel to Close Encounters where... Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a combination of this and E.T.
Okay.
So aliens come to this family. I guess they're like, it's scary. But then the children befriend one of the aliens. But then Toby Hooper said that it was going in too many directions.
Yeah.
There's like too much going on with it. So then they divided it up. It ended up not being a sequel. It ended up being its own complete story. Mm-hmm. So then there's E.T. and Poltergeist.
Okay.
Basically, they worked on Poltergeist as soon as that was done. Like, the minute it was done, started with E.T.
Okay.
The composer for this was Jerry Goldsmith. I figured we should mention him.
We should.
He was involved with over 250 movies. He composed the soundtrack, or I guess he was the composer, for Star Trek Voyager, the intro TV show, The Mummy, 13th Warrior, Alien, The Secret of Nim. In 1984, he composed the intro for the Twilight Zone movie, and this is a fun fact that you'd like. He worked on it and like collaborated with the Grateful Dead for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he only won one Oscar in his like insane career, and that was for The Omen.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So he also did the soundtrack for The Omen.
Was
the composer.
Was just listening to The Grateful Dead this morning.
Well, what do you know?
It's all connected.
So in this film, when you see the houses like down in the valley, that's Angora Hills. Mm-hmm. This is all like in the LA area.
Okay.
And then the actual house is in the Simi. Hope I'm saying that right. Simi Valley. And that house, the Zestimate on it is what?
Zestimate.
I like looking at real estate online.
No, it's good. I think it's interesting to see what they go for.
The house is just worth, according to the internet, just under $1 million.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I do have a couple corrections from last week before we start talking about the
movie. I love it.
Okay. So, Rosemary's Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mia Farrow.
Mia Farrow.
It was Greg Canham.
Greg!
Who did the makeup.
Why did I think it was Frank?
I don't know. I wrote down some other random name, too, and then I scratched it out, and I think I put Greg.
I'm glad we're, like, revisiting some mistakes, because
typically I don't, because I don't listen to it
again. Oh, you listen to it?
But I listened to it.
Oh, okay.
And then I thought, okay, I had it on when I was in the shower, like, a few days ago. And I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to go back and correct this, so it's not just like, I don't know. And you were right. First time Poison Ivy was live action was Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
She was started out in the comic books in the 60s.
Almost close on that one. I said 70s.
Yep. I think it was 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was in the animated.
Yep.
Early 90s animated series.
She's my favorite DC villain.
Probably mine too.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. There's a lot. So yeah. I think that was it. I only listened to half of it. So.
That's okay. I listened to them on my way into work.
I think
the day after they get released.
Oh, really?
Just to see if we did like fuck up. I'm like, oh, should we comment?
I listened to it until the cat fell through the ceiling.
And then you're like, this is ridiculous. And then,
well, I listened to it in the amount of time that it takes me to shower at night. Sometimes during the day when I shower, it's like a quick process.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, shower is like medium length. But then I do all the lotions and the hair oil and the face lotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, trim my nails and do like random stuff. So I have a solid half hour to 45 minutes where I'm just standing in the bathroom.
I'm always doing 50 different things at once, so...
So I'll listen to it then, but then I didn't have as much time because Emma was supposed to be over and I didn't want to be like sanding my calluses in the bathroom while she was like waiting to hang out, you know?
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have to say that I really like this movie just in general. I think it's good. What?
Okay. If we're being super honest.
You don't like it?
I think I only like it because of childhood nostalgia. It's like The Gate. Like, I like The Gate because it's something I watched, like, when I was really little.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it's the special effects, too. Maybe you'll see the new one and it's the same story. It'll just be scarier.
Yeah.
Because it's not scary.
It's not scary. No.
Some of it's kind of
scary. It's creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that this deep-seated clown fear into my brain when I was young. Do you remember that crocheted clown that we had in the living room?
Yeah.
Fucking hated that thing.
Mom listens to this too, so it's funny that I'm saying this, but Mom would always say, the clown looks just like the clown from Poltergeist. If we have a clown just like it.
It doesn't.
Doesn't.
It doesn't,
at
Mom.
At all. It was a white and yellow crocheted clown.
Who made it?
I don't know. But it wasn't plastic faced like this. It wasn't wearing a little jingly outfit. It was just like.
Still fucking terrifying, though. I remember having sleepovers in the living room and covering it with a blanket.
Oh, it didn't bother me that much.
Ugh.
It was what made me afraid of clowns. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this when the original came out. It was like a made for TV. So yeah. It was in two parts.
Yeah.
And it started at like 8 or 9 o'clock on Sunday night, you know, figuring it's scary. And it was on just like normal TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, yeah, I saw that when I was like young-ish. I must have been like 13 or 14. No, I was like 9.
Absolutely. Knowing our house. Yeah, we were watching crazy shit at like 7 or 8.
But it was... So I thought, like, wow, you know, I've always been really afraid of this movie. I wonder why. Because I was, like...
You were a child.
In like elementary
for, like
school.
Like, for real, a child.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Anyway. So the intro to this is the Star Spangled Banner.
It reminded me a lot of Dark Skies.
Yes.
Because it was dark and they were all, like, snuggled in bed and stuff. And the Star Spangled Banner was playing.
Yeah. The TV was signing off. I don't know if we talked about this in Dark Skies or not. But I was explaining it to Emma because she was there. She watched the intro and Greg goes, do you even know what that is? Because people don't know what that is. So at night, it was usually 2 a.m. from what I remember growing up. This ended in the late, or early 90s, but at night after 2 a.m., the TV stations quit broadcasting.
Yeah.
So they'd play
before like cable TV and stuff.
Well,
maybe during, like...
Cable TV was different.
Yeah.
Because cable played all the time.
Nonstop, yeah.
Yeah, it played nonstop. But just like NBC, ABC, mm-hmm. this shit that people picked up with their antenna, it would quit broadcasting. So there'd be, like, the news, and then, like, Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or...
Yeah.
Letterman. And then there would be a movie, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like... old scary movie, science fiction, whatever.
Yeah.
And then after that, it would sign off.
Just go dark.
Yeah. So it would either be static or it would be like a blue screen mm-hmm. that would just beep. But yeah, I was explaining that to Emma. I'm like, yeah, at one point in time, like TV just ended and then it would pick back up with the morning news.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is weird to think about now.
But then I remember, like, having sleepovers and stuff where the TV would end and we'd either watch a movie mm-hmm. or we would, like, stay up talking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was a thing that happened. And it was the anthem and it was always, like a weird kind of montage-y type thing of, like, fields of blowing wheat and, like, an eagle flying and, like... Yeah. Mount Rushmore, you know, it was like this like weird patriotic shit that would like come on and then
try to ingrain in your brain before going to bed.
Maybe brainwash you. So anyway, that comes on, TV signing off. The dog in the house is awake, Golden Retriever. I don't think I got its name.
Its name in the film is E-Buzz.
Okay.
And one of the very few animals in horror movies that lives. Throughout the entire film.
True.
Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, and I read this online, I read this on the Movie Pause.
Mm.
Yep. So for those of you interested, if you go on MoviePaws, which Aaron has mentioned a few times, it gives you all of the animals in every film and like a breakdown of their story and history in the film and then whether they lived or died.
Which is funny that you did that because you... Before we started recording and we sat here, you're like, did you do any research?
I did do that.
Okay.
But his name in the movie is E-Buzz off of a Dan Aykroyd character on SNL. But I didn't get his, like, real name.
Okay. We'll call him Buzz. Buzz the dog.
The puppy doggy.
The dog, this cracks me up because dad's passed out in the chair. Mom is passed out in her room. The kids are all in bed. Well, the TV signs off and the dog goes room to room and just steals everybody's fucking food. Like all the kids' snacks. Dad was eating something. He like steals the food from dad, but he just goes like around the house, which is really cute.
Cooper does bed checks at night.
Oh, yeah.
When we say goodnight to the kids, he'll go up to Sienna's room and just like look in, and then Hayden's, and then he'll come down and sleep with us.
Oh, that's really cute.
It's adorable.
I had something to say and now it's gone.
That's okay.
Anyway, so Carol Ann wakes up and she sees like the flickering static on TV. She comes down, starts talking to the TV.
Yeah. Kids are the worst.
Having a conversation with the TV. She's like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Well, then her dad wakes up and is just looking at her. And she's talking loud enough that, like, the family wakes up.
Yeah.
So her siblings and mom all come down. And this is the part that was creepy to me, is she starts responding like she's answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, I don't know. Like,
yes.
So she's responding to the TV static. Well, then they start to, I mean, this is later on, but she puts her hands on the TV. Well, then later on, her mom's worried that she's going to like sleepwalk and hurt herself.
Yeah.
Because Diane, mom, used to sleepwalk.
And I love that like her and Steve are laying in bed watching TV, just like getting stoned.
Yeah. They're both like.
The kids are in bed.
And what I like about that scene is that they're not like. It's not like in every other movie where they're, like, tucked into the blankets and, like, both reading and the TV's on.
Steve's, like, doing push-ups on the bed and, like, dicking around.
Yeah. Like. It's like, okay, the kids are in bed, so we're just, like, hanging out. And he's, like, laying on his stomach facing the TV. Mm-hmm. Like, no sign of going to bed.
Do you think mom and dad did this, like, when we went to bed?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Did you guys ever get high after putting us to bed?
Greg was funny because they do. So they that happens, the TV scene. And then it's like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like all these kids riding around on bikes. And Greg made the joke, like, look at them all just playing outside. No phones, no video
just
games.
Just living their life. With skeletons underneath the streets.
Yes. Yeah. So this is like kind of random. It doesn't really play into it other than... Maybe something's going on with, like, the house or the electrical.
Yeah.
All the guys, I keep saying dad. What's his name?
Steve.
Steve and all
just call him Coach.
Coach. Steve and all his buddies are watching a football game. Well, the neighbor's remote and their remote are on, like, the same frequency.
Yeah.
And the houses are so close together that they can turn each other's TV. So they're watching this, like, important football game, and then all of a sudden it switches to Mr. Rogers. So he kind of gets in with the neighbor, like, yelling back and forth. And then I guess it comes up later that the neighbors, like, don't really like them, that they don't, like, which kind of helps out with later on in the film, like, why they act that way.
Yeah.
Diane finds Carol Ann's canary dead.
Do you remember finding our parakeet dead with, like, a broken neck?
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
He flew into a window.
Supposedly.
Oh, I would assume he flew into the window. How else would he break his neck?
Maybe something broke its neck.
In our bedroom?
Yeah.
Maybe it was poltergeist.
Maybe it was a poltergeist.
I don't know.
You used to sleepwalk.
Yeah. I still do.
Hayden.
Hayden sleepwalks?
Hayden will just, like, sit up in bed and just talk with his eyes closed.
Oh, yeah. I do that, too.
He's super chatty in bed.
Mm-hmm. I do that. This morning it was weird because I woke up at 4:15, and I knew it was 4:15 because I woke up thinking I had overslept. Mm-hmm. So then I looked at my watch, and I'm like, oh, whew, no big deal. Laid back down, went to sleep. Well, 15 minutes later, Ruby howled in her sleep.
Puppy woofs.
No, woofs. Not just a sleep woof. Not like a whew, whew. Yeah. Like they're dreaming.
Like full on.
Like a full on howl that must have woke her up. It woke everybody up. We're like, what the fuck just happened?
Cooper whined in bed the other night and it was weird.
This was like a full on howl. Like, I don't know what was going on. But then I thought, I woke up unexpectedly. And then Ruby woke up unexpectedly, yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was aliens.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I said that to Greg joking when I, because he's like, well, did you wake up when Ruby howled? And I said, no, it was before that. And then I joked and said, well, it was probably aliens.
You know what movie we should do?
What?
The Fourth Kind.
No. You can go fuck yourself. I'm not. Dark Skies was bad enough. Maybe we should do Communion.
No.
No. I'll pass. No, thank you. Aliens creep me out.
Okay.
Okay. She finds Tweety dead. She attempts to flush the freaking parakeet.
That's not going to happen, lady.
I mean, a parakeet, you could probably flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
They're kind of small. Carol Ann sees her, and then they have to have, like, a little funeral
and
for the
bird. Little yellow, red, and blue cigar boxes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still have some of those.
I don't. But Dad
That's had them why. All the time. Yeah. I have some of Dad's. But, yeah, so then they have to have, like, she puts a picture in a Polaroid.
Like, yeah, she's just, like, a picture for when you're lonely, a blanket for when you're cold, and it's just, like, the cutest little thing.
Yeah, and then she puts her licorice in there.
For when he's hungry.
Which, just, like, 2 seconds later, that whole yard gets dug up anyway, so Tweety gets dug up. Yeah. Well, anyway, Carol Ann, as soon as the bird is in the ground, she asks for goldfish.
I know.
Which she immediately overfeeds.
Yeah.
She's just like.
They have two.
Pouring two. Food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goldfish, for one, do not belong in bowls. Ever.
Pet store PSA, people.
Yep. Goldfish get to be like a foot long.
Do you remember the goldfish that I had in my 30 gallon?
Yes.
It was huge.
Yeah. Anyway, goldfish don't belong in bowls. They're super dirty.
1982 PSA.
Yeah. I mean, and there's always the people that are like, I had a goldfish in a bowl for 10 years. And I'm like, well, you could have had a goldfish in a tank or pond for 60 years. Yeah, goldfish live a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, nobody cares. That's my own. That's, yeah. My own rant. So there's a storm coming that evening. They put the kids to bed. This is the scene where they're just like hanging out in their bedroom wide awake.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
But yeah, what?
No, I wrote all of my notes on a little flippy, so I'm taking them off when they're relevant.
I mean, that's okay.
Just let me do my thing.
I didn't say anything. What?
Okay.
I want a divorce. There's a storm coming. Robbie's scared. He's, for one, scared of the clown, which is in a chair sitting directly facing him at the end of his bed.
Facing in front of him, like 2 feet away from the end of his bed.
Yeah.
Why do they have this clown? It probably, like, their grandma probably got it for them and they feel bad. The parents feel bad. So they're like, yeah, just keep this horrendous looking plastic face clown.
They could keep it in the closet or something. It doesn't have to be out.
No shit.
There's also the creepy ass dead tree right outside.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. When Steve's explaining it to Robbie, he's like, oh, that tree, you know, has been here forever. And we decided to build the house right next to it.
They would have fucking cut that tree down.
Oh, it's a dead, scary ass tree. Yeah. It's not like this big, healthy thing. It's like all weird. I don't know.
It looks like the Whomping Willow. Without the willow part.
Without the leaves. Without the willow part. Yeah. So anyway, the tree's scaring him. Well, Steve tells him how to count the lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lightning flash. Count until you hear the thunder. That's how far the storm away is. Storm mm-hmm. is away. If the storm is getting closer, obviously the count shortens if it's going away. So that like calms Robbie yeah. down. You find out too at this point, they built their house next to it. It's like implied, and it is like more so moving forward, that he works for this real estate company.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person to move into the neighborhood. There's different phases of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's this big giant subdivision. So he moved in phase one. Original.
Yeah.
To the area. And I'm assuming that he got to like pick his house.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the storm is still freaking creepy. So the next scene I thought was cute is both the kids in bed with their mm-hmm. mom and dad. Now, static, once again on the TV, wakes up Carol Ann. Some weird, like, misty ghost hands came out of the TV and are kind of, like, menacing over yeah. the sleeping family. Which is decent effects for the time, I think.
Yeah.
Then there seems to be, like, an earthquake. Or, like...
A rumbling.
At this point, Carol Ann has her hands on the TV and says the classic line, "They're here."
They're here.
Mm-hmm. While this is going on, like, all of the, like, misty weird stuff from the TV turns into more of, like, a ray and shoots mm-hmm. into the wall, and there's, like, a little hole in the wall.
Yeah.
There's also the house shakes super bad to the point that there's damage. The next day, Steve's on the phone calling around. There's no news of any kind of earthquake, even though the inside of their house had suffered a lot
of
damage.
Why is it just this house? There are a lot of theories about why, but, like, why do you think?
I think it was a combination of things. He was the first person to move into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Ann was born in that house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Some of the, like, fan theory is that the ghosts were, like, drawn to her, like, mm-hmm. life force. And then another thing that I didn't read about, but it was kind of my own theory,
mm-hmm.
is that he was the first one to move in and get other people to move into the area.
Oh, yeah.
Because he sold 40% of the lots something that comes out later.
He's making, like, a shit ton of money.
Yeah. So he's making crazy money, selling all these houses. Mm-hmm. Big into real estate. So I think not only him being the first one there, but him bringing other people in.
Yeah.
Is why that okay. family gets targeted. Okay. So there's no news of the earthquake. So then Diane asks, this is all over breakfast. Like, and it's kind of hectic, you know, typical yeah. getting everybody off to work mm-hmm. and school and everything. Diane asked Carol Ann, when you said they're here, who did you, like, what did you mean? And Carol Ann says the TV people.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. That's not creepy. So then while they're all sitting there for breakfast, Robbie picks up his silverware, like his fork and spoon at breakfast. And both of them are, like, bent horribly.
There is no spoon. It's immediately what I thought of. I was like, oh.
And he just kind of looks at it like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like, they rush off. Well, then the dog is standing on Steve and Diane's bed and is barking at the hole.
Yeah.
Well, not only is he barking so at, like, the weird spot in the wall, he jumps down, gets a toy, and drops it there.
Ugh.
Which is fucking creepy.
Yeah. I don't like any of this.
Yeah. So then she just kind of like dismisses it. So she's at home with Carol Ann. And I think they talk about her missing preschool. So she must just go for like half day or something.
Yeah.
So she's home with mom. Everyone else had left. So Diane comes down and all the chairs are pushed out from the table. So she just kind of looks at it like, what the fuck, you know, and pushes all the chairs mm-hmm. back in.
As you would. You wouldn't think anything.
Well, they did this next scene without stopping it. So it's like one continuous scene because she ducks away for like 7 seconds. And in that 7 seconds, the crew takes out the chairs and puts in the stacked chairs.
Oh, okay. I see.
So there's no pause.
Okay.
So she pushes in all the chairs. She goes and reaches for some cleaning supplies under the sink. She stands up, and when she turns around, all of the dining chairs are like stacked on the table.
It's just, I don't like it. It's like the scenes in Dark Skies when stuff is just like being stacked weird and everything.
I'm going to start coming over and stacking all your shit. Ugh.
I'm not saying that this movie isn't creepy, but...
That was a good jump scare.
It was a good jump scare. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she sees all the chairs balanced. Well, then it jumps ahead to that evening. Steve comes home from work.
This is fucking wild.
And I like how she says, reach back into our past when you used to have an open mind.
Thanks, has, Diane.
Yeah, she has everything cleared out of the kitchen or moved in the kitchen. She's got tape on the floor.
I suppose they probably like Dana is probably what, like 16? They met in the 60s, so.
Well, this was 82.
Mm-hmm.
And this was another thing, too, because when he goes and asks for help at the college with, like, the paranormal people, he gives ages. He gives his wife's ages 32. So Diane's 32 and Dana is
14?
16.
16.
So it comes out that she's 16 at, like, another point. And then people are like, okay, well, then did she have Dana when she was 16?
They might have.
But then they also, fan theory to kind of like argue that fact, is that Dana is maybe from a second or first marriage. And Diane might be the second wife.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So okay. Diane might be her stepmom.
But even at 16 or 17,
yeah,
in like the late 60s,
I mean,
if they were together, I don't know if that would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, yeah, she could have been 17. It could be like right in the...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a lot to think about. I didn't plan on that.
This wasn't in my notes.
It's not in my notes, so we need to change the subject.
God, Jeff's parents got married when his mom was like 17.
Really?
Yeah, like super early. Mm-hmm.
To each their own, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works, it works. Yeah, so Diane at this point is kind of like going a little cuckoo. She puts a chair on the floor in the circle that she had drawn, and the chair slides across the room and stops at another point.
Yeah.
And she's explaining, she's like, this happens and that happens and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then she puts a helmet on Carol Ann and sets her in the circle and sends her sliding across the floor.
I wouldn't be having as much fun with this as she is.
No. But see, I'm conflicted with this because that happening, the things moving.
Yeah.
No. That would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I would just not want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
But then I'll explain how I go in completely the opposite direction later on. The thing's moving. Don't want anything to do with that. They go and they ask the neighbors if they've noticed anything. And the neighbors are basically like, what the fuck? Like,
no.
Go away.
Get the fuck off my lawn.
Yeah. Well, then basically it just jumps to another storm. The tree that was scaring Robbie outside the window fucking reaches in and grabs him and pulls him out. That is like worst nightmare type stuff.
Dad would try and scare us all the time because there was, well, there was a big tree outside of your bedroom window when you were like down the hall.
Yeah.
And he would always try and scare. He definitely tried to scare me with the tree.
Because that tree was way closer to your window than the maple tree was to my window.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Ugh. The tree's going to come in and get you.
Thanks, Dad.
So this is just fucking chaos. Sort of poor planning, too, because Robbie gets pulled out of the window by these, like, creepy-ass tree hands, and he's, like, screaming his head off.
It's an ent. It's a pissed
off ent. It kind of is. Like, an ent is trying to eat Robbie.
Treebeard's pissed.
So he gets pulled out the window and is getting eaten, and then they run out. Both parents run out. Now, Carol Ann is screaming her fucking little head off, and they can't hear because of the storm, and Robbie's screaming, which the neighbors don't hear, even though the neighbor's house is right there.
They look out the window, they're like, fuck that. Just shut the blinds.
Like in Trick or Treat, like closing the blinds, not my fucking problem.
Nope.
Yeah, so then, and then another thing, Dana's in the house. She can't hear her fucking sister screaming.
Who knows?
Anyway.
It's chaos.
It's total chaos. Well, they managed to get, what's his name?
Robbie?
Robbie. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Danny. They managed to get Robbie out of the tree as the tree is getting, like, sucked up in a tornado. So then the tree's just gone. What?
This is where I wrote down, I think I like this movie because of nostalgia, and that's it.
Yeah.
This is, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I know.
I like a lot of movies for nostalgia. Like, I still watch The Labyrinth all the time.
See, I love that movie. Like, regardless.
And it's not, when you look at it now, it's not like the...
No. Can you imagine the uproar of people our age...
If they redid it?
If they tried to redo it.
I'd watch it if it was redone.
I would watch it too, but I'm saying the internet backlash...
I mean,
would be outrageous.
They're going to have to find somebody as good as, like, Frank Oz.
Right? And David Bowie.
And Jim Henson.
And Jim Henson.
So as soon as they do, they're more than welcome to make another one.
I think Jim Henson's son is in, like, puppeteering and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, so...
Treebeard going apeshit.
Treebeard tries to eat Robbie. It doesn't work. They get him back. This was when Carol Ann... This was kind of scary. Carol Ann, the closet opens and there's like a super bright light in there. And everything in her room starts sliding towards the closet door like it's getting sucked in. Well, then she also... She's hanging on to her bed, gets sucked into the closet.
The poor kid.
So then they realize once they get Robbie back, Carol Ann is missing.
We have a young daughter.
Yes, we have a tiny daughter who was in the room while all this was happening.
Yeah.
So they're going room to room, freaking out. Well, then Diane was worried because they're digging a pool. Mm-hmm. So there's just basically like a big mud hole in their backyard.
Yeah.
That's been filling up with rainwater. She was freaking out that Carol Ann would sleepwalk into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Or just fall in.
Yeah.
So then Steven runs out there, jumps in the pool, swimming around, or in the hole, can't find her. Well, then they find... No one says anything about every one of their possessions being in the closet. They start digging shit out of the closet. They see a shape, a figure covered with a sheet in the back of it. They're like, fuck. And, like, Dana's standing there, and she, like, immediately starts crying, thinking,
well,
like...
Well, yeah.
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 Well, they pull the sheet off, and it's that stupid
clown. The fucking clown.
Mm-hmm.
This guy.
Yeah. So, Robbie is in his parents' room, you know, looking for Carol Ann still, and he hears her voice. Calls mom. Mom comes running in. The voice is coming from the staticky TV.
I don't like that.
No. Nope.
Not a fan.
It's kind of like the radio in Dark Skies.
Yeesh.
Yep. Mm.
Ground control?
Oh, God, that's so creepy. So, Steve doesn't call the police or anything, which is reasonable.
It's reasonable, because if you tried to explain
this... If they called the police and said, our daughter's missing...
Immediate.
They would be questioned. One of them might even be thrown in jail, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. They'd question the kids. It would be complete chaos. So, like, going and asking for, like, paranormal help was actually kind of a smart move.
Yeah. 100%.
So he finds some people that can help him. They come over to the house. They've recorded experiences before.
I love when, who is it? Ryan, when he's just like, yeah, like, we've recorded all of these things. And Craig T. Nelson is just like, uh-huh. Have you recorded?
Well, yeah, he goes.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I once did a time-lapse video of a children's ball rolling, you know, 6 feet across the floor. It took 8 hours. Yeah. But I had it on time lapse, and that was like their paranormal experience that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Did not expect what was happening.
Yeah, and this is Dr. Leish and Marty and Ryan at this point.
So the two guys are kind of like tech guys.
Mm-hmm.
They
all have their doctorate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's good for them.
Yeah.
Well, tech guys. Because
I just, like, wrote down, like, Marty and Ryan, but they are.
Oh, so they are doctors.
They are,
They are learned doctors.
Yes.
Okay. So I was just going to say Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
Steve takes him up to the bedroom. He says, we keep it locked. He unlocks the door, opens it up, and it's like a fucking shit show tornado of, like.
Toys.
Doing their own thing, laughing, flying around the room, books opening and closing, making weird sounds.
Yeah.
There was like a little...
How long do you think it had been since Carol Ann went missing? Like a week,
maybe? I would say not even a week.
Not even a week? Okay.
I would say less than that.
Okay.
I think they probably like jumped on it right away.
Yeah.
Within a couple days.
Yeah.
I mean, why wait?
Yeah, that's true.
They explain the differences between hauntings and poltergeist.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. They kind of get into a few things like that where I'm like, oh, that's interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like dying and stuff.
Yeah, like what happens when you die.
Well, because Dr. Leish she's a paranormal psychologist, but her main thing was psychology, and then, like, it just kind of developed into paranormal stuff.
Yeah. Carol Ann talks to them through the TV, and she wants to go to the light. Now, is it Lesh or Leish?
I watched it today.
The lady doctor.
Yeah.
The lady doctor. She says, stay away from the light. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Don't go to it. Okay, fine. While they're sitting there, a little hole in the ceiling opens up, like a little portal. It's all like crazy light. And a bunch of like... jewelry and like odds and ends, little like metal things fall out of it, and some dirt. They find out that someone is in there with Carol Ann.
Ugh, it's so terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Someone scary and bad.
Uh-huh.
That's keeping her in there.
Who appears as like a kid to Carol Ann, but is not a kid.
Yes. Someone's in there with her. You hear Carol Ann, so they're all downstairs at this point. You hear footsteps running through the upstairs, and then footsteps running down the stairs, and Diane is standing there, and she feels Carol Ann, like, pass through her.
Ugh.
And she gets really upset and emotional, which, totally fair.
Is she, so they're in another dimension.
Yes.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay.
Then... they hear louder, more aggressive footsteps and something coming down the stairs. And then everyone gets kind of like blasted away.
It's chasing her.
Yes.
Mm.
So there's something bad and they're chasing her. Marty had been upstairs, like, recording stuff when this happened. And when he came back down, he said that something had bit him. He lifts up his shirt, and there's, like, a shark bite starting from, like, his armpit to, like, his hip bone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bleeding. It was just, like, horrible bruise.
And he said that he thought it was just, like, a muscle spasm, but, like, something, like, bit him.
Yes. Mm. They all decide that they're going to stay the night in the living room. So they all, like, hunker down. The adults are all kind of whispering to each other.
Yeah.
The kids are, is Dana there?
Dana, like, goes back and forth between her friend's house.
Yeah. Dana doesn't spend much time there. They have kind of, like, a weird death conversation. Mm-hmm. This is where Lady Doctor...
Lady Doctor.
...explains it to Robbie. Like, because Robbie says something like, if I died, could I see her and, like, get her out?
Like, because if something... he thinks that it's, like, afterlife type thing.
Yeah.
That Carol Ann died or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the doctor explains that Carol Ann is still alive. She's very much living. And then kind of explains her idea of death and, like, what people...
Right.
How people take it. But then she also explains to him hauntings, how some ghosts or some people when they die pass on and others stay.
And some stay and get bitter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the two guys, the two doctors.
They are, we can just call them Marty and Ryan, but I just wanted to clarify.
Marty and Ryan, they're still awake. I thought it was weird that Marty was like, I'm going to go get something to eat.
It's just wild.
So he opens the refrigerator and grabs, like, a chicken drumstick.
Yeah.
So he's got that in his mouth. And I'm like, okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And then he pulls out, like, a 30-ounce steak.
He's like, this'll do.
At a frying pan. And it's the middle of the night. That's like when you grab, like, a box of, like, Cheez-Its or something.
And you're like, man, I'm kind of hungry. You don't eat a huge steak.
And it was massive. If I have steak, I might eat leftovers.
Yeah.
But at whatever time in the middle of the night, especially if everyone is sleeping down, like, on the same level, he just walks in the other room and he's going to pan fry a giant steak. Anyway, he puts the steak, too, fucking bare ass on the counter, like, not on a plate. Pulls it out of the refrigerator and no wrapping, lays it bare on the counter. Well, then he's looking at it, and the steak starts, like, wiggling its way across the countertop.
This was wild.
Yeah.
This is wild. I was like...
And I read how they did it. They did it with wires and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's a cool little illusion, because it looks like the steak is kind of, like, inchworming across the table. Well, he's sitting there staring at it. Well, then it kind of, like, erupts what looks like chicken gizzards.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's kind of like it doesn't explode.
And, like, the goo in this reminds me a lot of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ectoplasm.
The ectoplasm.
It kind of reminds me of, like, raspberry jam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, strawberry jelly.
Yeah.
Is what I thought of it. Well, then the steak starts, like, bubbling up weird with, like, more meat. It was really gross.
It was gross.
And then he pulls the chicken drumstick out of his mouth, and it's maggoty, and he drops it maggoty onto the ground. So he runs into the bathroom and is, like, rinsing his mouth out.
This part, I hate this part.
I mean,
I forgot all about it, and I know that we've talked about it in a previous podcast
or
previous recording, whatever. And I watched it for the first time in, like, 10 years because I hadn't seen this movie in that long. And I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah. He runs in the bathroom, rinses out his mouth, and then he's looking in the mirror and he starts kind of, like, picking at his face.
Ugh.
And then as soon as he starts picking at his face, it immediately goes into clearly a fake wax face.
Yeah.
But then he starts pulling off his skin, so it's just like the chunks. Blood chunks of it are falling into yeah. the sink, and then there's just like his bone skeleton mm-hmm. and blood and eyeballs underneath. What?
It's like the melting scene in
Indiana Last Jones. Crusade. Yep. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it was a lot like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But yeah, he pulls his face off. And then all of a sudden, he's like snaps out of it.
Is it Last Crusade? The one, Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's the face melt scene.
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
That's the one where all the Nazis' faces burn off. But then The Last Crusade is where they drink out of the cups and then they also melt.
Yeah. It can be ours, Indy. Yours and mine.
Yeah, she's a dumb hoe.
She's so dumb. God, she's dumb. Beautiful, beautiful person, but dumb.
Yeah.
And a Nazi, which is terrible.
Not the best idea. Now, they're old-timey. It's old-timey now. It was probably state-of-the-art when this film came out.
For sure, yeah.
But they had, like, the giant camcorders.
Mm-hmm.
But they're set to, like, detect motion.
Absolutely.
So they click on, what are the guys' names?
Ryan and Marty.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan is sitting there with, like, his back toward, like, his back away from the screens. And he's drawing, mm-hmm. listening to music. So he's just totally out of it. You would think that he would at least face the surveillance screens.
You would think so.
So that he would maybe catch something
yeah.
and not be completely oblivious, especially after the shit that's going on in the house. But what do I know? The equipment starts recording ghosts coming down the stairs. There's like a whole like parade of ghosts. They all wake up and see it and play it back. Mm-hmm. So it's like clearly documented, these like glowing orbs coming down the stairs.
And you can kind of, you get like,
you can kind of see
like a bolo hat and things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which plays out in the next one.
Yeah.
Anyway. But you can kind of see that like a light figure to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next day after that happens, Robbie and the dog bounce to Grandma's.
I love that, like, Robbie just, like, got in the cab and Buzz just, like, is like, yep, peace out, bye.
Yeah. So they send Robbie off. There's a taxi waiting for him. He has his little suitcase. He's going to Grandma's, wherever the mm-hmm. fuck Grandma lives. And then the dog is sitting, like, with the rest of the family on the lawn next to the house. And the dog is looking at it, and the dog's like, I'm out. And just runs down the hill and also jumps in the cab. Smart.
I was like, yes.
Yes. So you know the dog is going to be safe mm-hmm. at Grandma's.
At Grandma's house.
They're looking over the jewelry that fell out of the ceiling. And the watch, or one of the... it was like a brooch or something, mm-hmm. was over 100 years old.
Yeah.
One of the watches was newer. So they couldn't,
yeah, they couldn't
tie
determine.
That together.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's boss.
What a dick.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, businessman.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Steve's boss talks to him about how he's been missing work, about how Carol Ann hasn't been in preschool. Just kind of like, what's going on? Yeah. So Steve tells him, like, well, I've had the flu. You know, my whole family has it. That's why we've been laying low.
Yeah.
Fevers. It's been terrible. Whatever. Because at this point, it's probably been like a week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go up on this like hillside that looks down at all of the houses below.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're looking at the houses and, his boss is saying, you could build a home right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, this is where phase five is going to be.
Yeah.
And he says, well, that's great for the house that's here. But then think about all the houses down in the valley that are going to look up at this house.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, fuck it. You're going to be the one in the house on the hill. What's it matter to you? You know, you're going to be up here. Well, they're on the edge of this giant cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like his boss thinks that he's quitting.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's been missing work. He just hasn't been into it. That's when he talks about how he's sold like the majority of the houses, making all this money.
You're doing so good.
Yeah, super well off. Well, then they talk about the cemetery and say, well, we'll relocate it. We'll just pay to have it done.
When I was younger, I didn't understand what was happening, but rewatching it as an adult, I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah. So his boss says, well, we've done it before.
What?
In 76. There was 300 acres of cemetery that was relocated. Now, that's a big fucking cemetery. And he said nobody's complained.
Until now.
Yeah, until now.
Until Craig T. Nelson is complaining. Yeah.
So what his boss said happened is that they took all the headstones, dug up all the people, moved them, you know, 10 miles down the road to where it's maybe flat and not as pretty, and reburied everybody, put the headstones up.
Has there ever been anything in the news where they haven't actually? Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
This
happened in Denver.
Yeah.
In Denver, this was a long time ago. This was like turn of the century.
Okay.
What they did is there was a cemetery. I want to say turn of the century. I might be wrong about that.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Regardless. They had hired a contractor to dig up a cemetery and move it so that they could build there.
I might have heard about this on Caitlin Doty's YouTube channel, Ask a Mortician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they did is the contractors did. They started moving the gravestones, started digging up the graves, relocating people. Well, then they bid too low and realized that they didn't have enough money to dig up all these people. So they just moved the headstones.
No one will know.
Then the contractors built buildings over the top of it. And then by the time anybody found out, the buildings were already there.
How would you find that out?
I think it was like water lines or something.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Which, in this, no gas lines, water lines, sewer, nothing that they put in ran into a fucking grave. No.
I know.
Yeah.
Basements.
Yeah. None of these houses have basements.
Yeah.
I
could imagine this guy going like, oh, if you put a basement in, it'll be like, you're in a floodplain. You can't put a basement in.
Yeah, no basements in any of these houses. No pools. And like, especially older graves kind of like work their way up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like not everyone is like 6 feet down.
No.
Encased in cement. Or whatever, you know, whatever they do.
Yeah.
Like, they might
as
not have
done
this.
As we find out.
They tell Steven. Well, first, Tangina tells Steven to be firm with her and, like, yell at her. Mm-hmm. Because Caroline hadn't been responding to them for a couple days.
Yeah.
So, because she's so caught up with, like, all the spirits and everything. So, she tells him to, like, be firm, yell at her, threaten a spanking. Like, whatever it takes, like, get her attention.
And I like how Steve's just like, I've never hit one of my kids before.
Well, I know, but he threatens it. And then she's like, oh, shit. Like, so she starts answering. They tell her to run to the light. Well, essentially, they tell her to run to the light so that she gets away from the bad spirit, which they end up calling the beast.
Mm-hmm.
They call her or tell her to go towards the light. She does. Then they tell her to run away from the light. So now she's like free. Now they devise this plan because the portal going in is in the closet and coming out is in the in the living room. So they take a numbered tennis ball, they throw it in the bedroom, it comes out.
They just want to make sure it's connected.
Yeah, and like nothing crazy happens in the meantime.
It comes out and it's just like fucking shredded.
Yeah, it's like the fly. Like, it comes out all, like, mutated and fucked up. So they run a rope. Steven has it at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it through the portal. And then it goes down into the living room. And Ryan grabs the other end.
Yeah.
So they pull it, make sure it's tight, like, ready to go. Well, then they kind of loop it around Dana.
Mm-hmm.
Diane. Diane's going in for her kid. So she goes in. They have this really sweet kind of like romantic like goodbye, because they.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know what's going to happen.
She could come out a mutated fly person.
Exactly. When she goes in, like the last thing she says is like, make sure you don't drop the rope. Well, he immediately drops it because the beast, like big giant scary face, like sticks out of the closet door. He lets go of the rope. Thankfully, Ryan has it on the other end. Mm-hmm. Grabs the rope, pulls out Diane and Carol Ann.
No mattress.
No, nothing catches them. They just fall 10 feet directly onto the floor.
Even in Stranger Things, in the trailer, which doesn't have like high ceiling clearance, they still put a mattress down.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think, but.
To catch somebody falling out of the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're safe. They think everything's done. Now I lost my. Okay, they get him in the tub. And, like, rinse them off, fine. Kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Tangina.
Says, like, this house is clean.
She looks fucking...
Everybody looks disheveled. Horrible. Everybody looks horrible at this point. It's been an incredibly stressful day. The next scene is they're moving. It's daytime. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like anything's wrong, really.
No.
They're packing stuff up. Now, this I didn't really understand. So Steven says, like, I don't care. We're leaving.
Throw it all in the truck.
Get it in the truck. Even if it's the middle of the night, we're going. Mm-hmm. Well, then that night, Diane puts the kids to bed. There's still a ton of shit in their house.
Yeah, it was a definite, like, plot hole because... Yeah.
They were supposed to leave that night when he got out of work, but then the family's acting like... One, mm-hmm. they're not leaving that night.
Yeah.
Two, a ton of shit's still in the house.
Yeah. And Diane has, like, two white streaks in her hair from, like, crossing dimensions.
Yes.
Doctor Strange. She's Doctor Stranging it.
It looks pretty cool. I personally would have left it.
I would have left it, too.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. So then, that night, Robbie is staring at the clown. The clown is freaky as shit. At the end of his bed, which it's not packed. If I was afraid of it, that would have been the first thing that got packed.
Yeah. I would have thrown it in the closet.
Personally. Mm-hmm. Well, he tries to throw something over it and misses, and the clown's still staring at him in the dark. He turns and looks back. He turns away for a minute, looks back, and the clown's gone.
I hate everything.
Yeah. It's fucking terrifying. And it's another good jump scare because he looks under the bed. And when he looks under the bed, nothing's there. Mm-hmm. When he leans back onto the bed thinking, okay, well, whatever, the clown grabs him and starts choking him. Ugh. And pulls him under the bed. And in this scene, the actor's actually mm-hmm. getting choked. Ugh. Yeah. They thought he was ad-libbing, I'm choking. But he really...
But, like, for real was doing it?
Yeah. And obviously they caught it in time and he was fine. But, like, something, the clown's arms, like, got too tight around his neck. Now, Diane is laying on the bed in her pajamas. And then it's very, like, Nightmare on Elm Street without the blood.
Rotating room.
She gets attacked by something invisible and then is getting, like, thrown up over the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And, like, she hears her kids screaming. She's trying to get to them.
It'd be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, then... Somehow she gets out of her bedroom door, but then falls down the stairs. So when she falls down the stairs, she immediately runs to get help. She can't mm-hmm. get back up the stairs. When she touches them, she's getting, like, shocked. So she runs outside screaming for the neighbors. And
like, the neighbors give two fucks about her.
No, and there's a thunderstorm. So who knows if they're actually going to be able to hear her in the first place. Well, then she falls into the pool. Oh, and this was when I called it a dragon dog, because she tries to get into the bedroom and can't, and that's kind of when she goes for help.
A luck dragon?
It does kind of look like a weird, skinny luck dragon. It's super bony and weird, and it was cool, though, because the way they filmed it was, because it kind of looks flowy and, like, they made the puppet for it, and then they put the puppet in water to get the, like, cool, like, feathery, flowy spirit-lookingness of it, and then they backlit it.
I like the amount of effort that it took people to, like, come up with, like, creature effects in old movies. Oh, yeah.
Like, how did they figure that out?
Let's just throw this puppet in a fish tank and call it good.
It looks cool. I mean, I liked it. So she can't get upstairs, so she runs outside to get help. She's screaming her head off. She falls into the pool, which is a big mud hole. And then all of a sudden, random dead bodies start floating up around her. Skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, like, some decay, and, like, they're dressed. There's
fleshy bits.
Yes. It's pretty disgusting. Well, the neighbors pull her out of the pool, and she's hysterical, and the neighbors will not go inside to help her.
No.
They just ditch her.
Those were real skeletons, too.
Oh, yeah. The skeletons were real. It was too expensive for fakes.
Yeah.
Which...
Yuck.
That, she didn't know that either when they filmed
it.
No. They told her after the fact.
Because this is, like, one of those things that you can find on, like, the top 10 most shocking things in horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then... She finally makes it to save her children, makes it up the stairs. They do the effect where it's a super long hallway, so she's running for like 10 minutes before she gets to the door. She finally gets to the door. There's like this big, the closet now is not just like a light that's sucking everything in. It looks like a big giant like throat.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It's super gross. And then the kids, it's the same thing. They're like getting, like...
They're getting sucked
blowing
in
the wind, like getting sucked down this tunnel. Diane manages to rescue them just in the nick of time. That's when Steve shows up from work.
Diane has been through a lot of shit while Craig T. Nelson is just fucking around.
Yeah. Pretty much. I think, though, Robbie has been through the most.
I think so, too.
He almost gets eaten by an ant. And actually choked out by a clown.
Ugh. Yeah, that's true.
And he hears his sister talking in the TV.
Yeah.
And his older sister doesn't give a fuck. She's always
out. Dana's just out with boyfriends, she girlfriends, whatever.
Whoever. She's out and about. So when Dad gets home, all the lights in the house are flashing. He's running in as like they're running out. Fuck this.
It's fucking chaos.
Well, it turns out, big plot twist, that they only moved the headstones. They didn't move any of the coffins or human remains.
What a twist.
Yeah. Once again, how do they not have...
They're just...
Cats are so funny.
Fucking...
How God do they damn. How did they put in the sewer lines? How did they put in the fire hydrants, the water, the gas?
Do you think it was all like a conspiracy theory, or do you think that that is like too much to cover up?
I think it, someone at some point would have leaked that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some random electrician would have been like, hey, guess
what?
Yeah,
like, you know that multi-million dollar Cuesta Verde subdivision?
Cuesta Verde means green slopes.
Ooh.
Yeah. In case you were wondering.
Yeah. The more you know.
It seems like it would have come up at some point, but...
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe they paid everyone off.
That's just a big plot hole.
Yeah.
Well, they manage... The whole family gets in the car. Dana gets dropped off by somebody, whoever. Boyfriend. She's got the ugly side ponytail. Cats are so crazy. We almost made it. So she... jumps in the car too, panicking, dog. Everyone's in the car, rushing away as the house implodes. It collapses on itself and disappears.
Neighbors peeking out the window like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Disappears into another dimension or whatever. It vanishes. And also, all over the neighborhood, gravestones are the caskets, coffins popping out of the ground.
Caskets.
And of course, when they pop out of the ground, they fly open. And all the human remains are all over the place.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Now, and were all of those real, too?
I don't know.
Or was it just the ones in the pool?
Some of, they probably reuse them.
Yeah.
Oh, like scene by scene. Mm-hmm. That's true. And then some of them are far enough away towards the end when the camera kind of pans out that it could be anything. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell what's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they run away to the Holiday Inn. They check in. They all look like shit. They're all in their pajamas or are covered with mud or both. And they're in the room for 2 seconds.
Interdimensional ooze.
Yeah. Covered in slime. And they push the TV out into like the little walkway of the motel.
Yeah.
The end.
Because fuck TVs.
Yeah. So you're on the fence about liking it.
I'm on the fence. And I'm on the fence because I haven't watched this in quite a long time. And I don't know. It's just, it's one of those movies that I liked
it's
when I was a kid.
It's not scary enough for you to continue watching it today. Correct. Okay. That's fair.
Like I think I've said previously, I really want to watch the new one to just kind of like compare.
Well, I have it. You can watch it before me and tell me how terrible it is.
Yeah. I'll let you know how scary
terrible is and scary
the clown scene is.
I would say I would, of course, watch it again. I'd recommend it just as a classic.
Mm-hmm.
I would say scariness, 1, maybe 2, if you're afraid of clowns.
Yeah, I agree.
Gore, 1. Because really the only gore is when he peels his face off.
Yeah, I think I would watch this in another 10 years and have the same feelings.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Like, I could go
you
another...
You can just say you don't like it.
I could go another 10 years without watching it and then watch it and be like, oh, my childhood. Like... That type
of
thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know.
That's all right.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's probably not one that I would just be like, oh, let's watch Poltergeist tonight.
Let's watch Poltergeist tonight.
Just because there's other things I want to see.
Yeah.
Before that.
Like Fall.
No, I'm not watching that bullshit.
Fuck that movie. Anyway.
Okay.
That was Poltergeist. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future or whatever, please follow us on Instagram. We also have a Facebook page, /movie review. I guess I should have been like, Instagram, /movie review, all one word, all lowercase.
Did you like miss something?
I did.
I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at my phone.
I'm off my game tonight. Anyway, if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on mtrsradio.com.
All right. I hope everyone has a good night and a good week. And I hope no one's home is built over a cemetery.
No, that's awful.
No, that would be terrible.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.